I'm Ed Gordon. This is News and Notes. The new president of Liberia is facing daunting tasks. Ellen Johnson Sirleaf will need to rebuild houses, highways, and hospitals literally torn apart by years of civil war. She's also expected to resurrect Liberia's ailing economy. Johnson Sirleaf is the first woman elected to lead an African nation. This week, she told reporters that she's determined to make changes in one of the world's least developed countries. Here to talk about Liberia's challenges and other political issues of the week is NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams and our Washington insiders. Juan?
Thanks, Ed. I'm joined now by Yvonne Bino, co-founder of the Urban Think Tank. She's the author of the book Stand and Deliver, Political Activism, Leadership, and Hip-Hop Culture. She joins us on the phone today. Also with us, Robert Trainum. Robert is a political strategist based in Washington. He's at our NPR studios in Washington, D.C. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you, Juan.
Let's start with discussion of Liberia. Yvonne, this week we saw Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, Harvard-trained banker, stalwart of Liberia's brutal politics, take office. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice was in attendance, as was First Lady Laura Bush. The big question there is one about Charles Taylor, who was ousted in 2003. He's in Nigeria for now. The question is, should Liberia asks for Taylor to be brought back and put on trial and risk the peace that exists there now?
I think, frankly, that would be a very risky proposition, and perhaps if that were to be done, it should be done down the road. They have some other problems that really need to be shored up. One of the biggest issues, there's a whole lot of pomp and circumstance over her being the first female head of state on the continent, and that's wonderful, but the country itself has corruption issues, they have infrastructure issues, as well as the tenuous political situation that she's looking forward to having to deal with.
Robert, what about the U.S. commitment to rebuild Liberia's armed forces? You have the U.N. already, I believe it's 15,000 peacekeeping troops there at a cost of about $700 million a year. Is the U.S. serious about helping Sirleaf in this effort?
If I may, I'd like to go back for a few moments and disagree with Yvonne. Look, Ma Ellen, as she's affectionately known in her country, said it best late last week when she said that President Taylor has always talked about making sure that he gets his due day in court. That's the main reason why this country was founded by former slaves of the United States, was to liberate people and to come back and to make sure that our heritage is preserved. And in order to do that, unfortunately, I believe that President Taylor needs to come back to Liberia and to face his peers.
Yeah, well, that being said, he has not been in, I guess, to use a lack of a better term, an honorable man. I think that's calling for real set of problems, and I understand.
Look, Iraq is a prime example. I mean, Saddam Hussein is now on trial because the United States, along with our allies over in the Middle East, came together and said Saddam Hussein is a brutal dictator. He needs to be tried by a jury of his peers. We can do the same exact thing over in Liberia. Justice needs to be served, and it needs to be swift, certain, and severe.
Let's move back home for a second and look at an interview done by Bruce Gordon, the new head of the NAACP, with the Washington Post. It was done around the time of the King birthday, but it really was a starting point in some ways for Bruce Gordon, talking about the strategy that he will employ to try to reverse the stagnation in the membership of the NAACP. And he noted that the reason he was opposed to the execution of Tukey Williams in California was because it was an issue that a lot of younger black Americans could relate to. Robert, is this the right strategy?
It was refreshingly frank. I disagree with the majority of the things that he said in his interview, but regardless, it was very frank in terms of his outreach to African-American youth. It'd be very interesting to see if, in fact, he can stop the hemorrhaging, if you will, from Kwasi Mfume, who left, unfortunately, under a cloud of ethics in terms of some internal things that were going on allegedly over at the NAACP. And I think that's the main reason why you have a lot of African-Americans, particularly at the younger level, Generation Xers, if you will, that are saying, you know what, I understand the NAACP. I know they were there for my parents and for my grandparents, but I'm not exactly sure they speak for me today in the 21st century in the year 2006.
Very quickly, Robert, you're on the Republican side of this discussion, and as you noted, Julian Bond has had some harsh things to say about the president. President Bush has not attended an NAACP convention in the last several years. Does Bruce Gordon's presence and the fact that he's been in the White House recently discussing the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina with the president signal a new era in that relationship between Republicans and the NAACP?
I think so. I think that shows President Bush's willingness to try to extend an olive branch to an organization that demonized him during the 2004 elections, that basically just persecuted him in the 2000 election, just pretty much said that he was a hate monger and hated all black people and the whole nine yards. And so this is the president doing what he has always preached, quote unquote, which is to extend an olive branch, to practice what you preach, and to try to push forward an era of compassion. And I think that's exactly
what he's doing. So it's a new era then, in your opinion?
Absolutely.
All right. Yvonne, what do you think about Bruce Gordon's comments? And do you believe that this is a new era with Bruce Gordon there in terms of attracting young people and building ties to the Bush administration?
Unfortunately, Juan, I don't. I was encouraged with the selection of Bruce Gordon. I thought that, at least on paper, he looked like a welcome departure from what we've seen in the past, so someone who could bring the organization into the 21st century. But in reading not only recent transcripts, but even going back to some other interviews that he's done, I just don't think that he's going to be able to move that organization forward. I mean, frankly, you know, his whole conversation about young people, most people, if you go into schools, high schools, even on some college campuses, they don't even know what the NAACP is. So it's not even a conversation that the NAACP was there for their parents. They're not even aware of the organization and what it stands for. And they're going to have to learn how to talk to young people. And when I say young, I mean voting age people up until their 40s. I think right now they're doing a very poor job of crafting a message that is resonating with that group of people.
All right. I've been joined by Yvonne Bino, co-founder of the Urban Think Tank and author of the book Stand and Deliver: Political Activism, Leadership, and Hip-Hop Culture. Also, Robert Trainum, political strategist based in Washington. Robert joined us from our NPR studios in Washington. Thank you both very much.
Thank you,
Juan.
Back to you, Ed.
Thanks, Juan. Don't forget to join us every Thursday to hear more from Juan Williams and our Washington insiders right here on Political Corner.